Well, hopefully you had fun with that. Happy again. Happy Independence Day to all of you. It's incredible what this day is, really. It's incredible that this day of independence, the day that we were able to say we are no longer going to be under your rules, we're doing our own thing and we'll fight for it. We're going to fight for our freedom. It's amazing. And it all comes from this idea of independence. Independence is the one American value that I think is the most deeply ingrained into our nation. It is a very big deal in America. You know, with the Declaration of Independence, that's how it started. But we teach our children independence. We teach it in schools and government and sports, our families. We elevate this independent mindset. For example, I mean, for some of you, you know what it's like, I'm sure. Hopefully I'm not signaling out anybody. But a 35-year-old man should not be living in his parents' basement without a job. In fact, some of you may have had family members that maybe they've gotten married and they had to move back in the house, and you look at that as a temporary situation, right? They are going to be here temporarily, and then they are going to go back and be independent. That is a good thing. It's a good thing. As a nation, if we do that correctly, you can go from rags to riches. That is, if you can achieve the American dream, if you value independence. But the problem is that independence may work really well for a country, but it does not work at all for a relationship with God. It doesn't work at all. Now, if you're taking notes, which I would suggest you to do, here's my main point. God's will for you and me is to place ourselves in a dependent relationship with him, to be like his children who are subject to his will. That is what God doesn't want you to be independent from him. He wants you to be dependent on him. So this morning, my message for you is entitled, The Declaration of Dependence. Declaration of Dependence. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to John chapter 15. While you're turning there, I do want to say, listen, I believe this is a good thing for our nation to have the independence. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. But I am saying, and I'm thankful. I will say this. I know it's not the hip thing to do in my generation, but I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful for our freedoms. Things don't always go the way we want, but I'm thankful for the sacrifices that those 56 men did by signing that document to say we are declaring freedom. But it doesn't work in our relationship with God. We cannot allow that thing to infiltrate. So, John 15, these are Jesus' words. I don't have it on the screen for you, so if you have your Bibles with you or your devices, if you could pull it up, I want to make sure that I read this. I want to read it in its entirety, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. So, John 15, verse 1 through 11, Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You already are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into a fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For this to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And finally, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Such powerful imagery if you're thinking of dependence. But what I wanted to do this morning I want to break down this idea of dependence. What is God actually asking us to do? What is he requiring from us to have dependence? And what does it mean for our lives? So the first two points that I'm going to say today, I'm just letting you know, they're a little heavy, okay? But I'm not going to leave you in this heavy spot. I have two good uplifting things for you to leave with, okay? But the first one is this, and it is dependence is weakness. Now, I tried really hard. I was writing on Monday. I'm writing down some ideas. You know, I got a little notepad next to my desk, and I'm writing down some ideas. And I wrote, dependence is not weakness. I don't know why I wrote it. I just did. But then it dawned on me. That's not right. So I went over to the is not, and I crossed it out. And I thought, what's a better word that I can put here? Is. Dependence is weakness. But here in America, we don't want to say that we're weak. Here in America, we don't want to say this idea that I'm weak. No, we don't say we're weak. We're strong. I can do it. I'm tough. I can do it on my own. But Jesus said, we just read John 15:4, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. You can't do it by yourself. The independence thing doesn't work with God. This isn't how it works. Now, my wife and I have three beautiful daughters. Our youngest one, her name is Arden, and she is just the cutest little thing. If you ever watch her run across the, I miss them, as you can tell. She runs across here, and she's very straight, like very proper, and does her thing. Well, one of my jobs this past year, you know, she's four now, but I think she was around three at the time. One of my jobs was getting her ready for school in the morning. And she went to school three times a week, so we had this routine where, you know, I'd make her breakfast, and we brush her teeth, and then, you know, we get dressed for the day, and we leave. Well, this particular day, I said, Arden, come on, let's go. It's time for you to get dressed. It's time for you to get dressed. And she said these words, I can do it myself. I'm like, no, you can't. No, you can't. You're 3 years old. You can't. Here you go. Do it. I can do it myself, Dad. Leave. Okay. All right, kiddo. Go for it, you know? So I walk out of the room, and like any good father does, I have to peek back in to see how she's doing. So after a few minutes, I come back in. I'm kind of peeking. She doesn't see me. And this girl is on the struggle bus. You know what I'm saying? She is struggling hard. She has her shirt on. It's laid on the floor, right? Because she knows that it has to be laid a certain way. But then when she puts it on, she thinks she's got it on the right way. I saw her, she put it on, it's backwards. So she takes it off because she doesn't know how to do it. And she continues to try to do this on her own. I mean, we got pant legs inside out. We got all this happening. This is going on for 10 minutes. This kid is determined that she can do it by herself. Next thing I know, she's got her head stuck in the arm. You know, her hand, her arm is coming out through the head hole, and then she's got the other flap here. I finally came in there and said, Arden, let me help you. You can't do this. And she gave in at that point and said, okay, Dad, help me out. This whole putting on shirts thing is tough. But the point is, listen, this is what I was thinking, is that's us. We're the kids struggling to put the shirt on, saying, God, I can do it by myself. Get out. I got it by myself. And he watches us struggling like a three-year-old trying to put on a shirt. And he's like, let me help you. You are weak. I am strong. I can help you. I know more than you. So that's what I felt like God was like saying to me in this moment is like, no, you are weak. You're like that three-year-old. I can do it myself. No, you can't. You cannot do it by yourself. Think of, again, of the vine and the branches. When a branch is separated from the vine, it's dead. It's weak. It has no strength. It's not attached to the vine. And that's what Jesus is saying. Stay to me. Stay connected to me so I can give you strength. Because, you know, we may be weak, but he is strong. We may be powerless, but he has the power. We may be helpless, but he can help us. The branch gets the strength from the vine. You never look at a dead branch and say, wow, look how strong that branch is. No, the It gets its strength from the vine. I was thinking of this verse in 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.'" And then this right here, I love this. "Therefore, I will boast in the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." When's the last time we boasted in our weaknesses? When's the last time you saw someone on TV brag about how weak they were? But he's saying, "I'm weak, and I will boast in it because that's how strong my God is." He's saying, "I might be the vine, I might be the branch, but I'm getting my power, I'm getting strength. It's not mine. It comes from the vine. It comes from him. It doesn't come from me. I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm going to boast in that because of his strengths." In Psalm 1, I'm just going to read some verses because it's amazing how many there are. In Psalm 121, 1 through 2, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Amen. Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and my song." Isaiah 40:29, "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless." And finally, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We are weak, but he is strong. You know how I looked in the Bible. How many times is it talk about my strength, my personal strength in the Bible? It doesn't. Strength is always attached to him. Strength, apart from him, it's always weakness. Attached to him is always strength. But it's not your strength. You're the weak one in the scenario. You are dependent on the vine for the power. You are dependent for the strength. You are dependent for the endurance. And when you're not connected, you lose the strength. So I know we don't want to admit that we're weak, but I'm here to tell you, you're weak. You know, I feel like that's like a Trump put down that he would say, you're just a little weak guy. You're weak. Yeah, I am. And I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm going to boast in my weakness. Amen? Number two, dependence is neediness. I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but in our culture, we do not value needy people. Do you know somebody needy? Anybody? A person? Somebody? If you don't, it might be you. You might be the needy person. You know, somebody who's constantly asking for something, you know, when they call, you see them calling, you're like, they're going to ask. They're going to either ask me to do something, they're going to ask me to agree with them on something, or they're going to ask for my money. You know, those are needy people. I had a needy girlfriend in high school. She wanted to spend all her time with me and take me away from my friends, and she called at weird hours, and I'll never forget the day that I'm in high school. You know, she walked me to my class, and I didn't want to be with her at that time, and I'm, like, in my classroom, and I see her peeking through the window waving at me. So I ended that, because I don't like that. I think I even told her at one point, "You're a needy person, and I do not have what you need." Do you know what I'm saying? The truth is that God is the only thing that we should be needy towards, but we're going to get to that in a moment. We don't want to agree and say that we're needy, but look at a branch. A branch is needy. It's dependent on the nutrients, on the water. It's dependent on the vine. John 15:7, Jesus said in our opening text, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, and it will be... And ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." What is he saying? Everything you need, I will provide for you. It doesn't, listen, you got to remember, it's not like a branch is going to say, I want a Corvette. And he's like, oh, yeah, of course you need a Corvette. No, these are the basic needs of your life he is providing for. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is everything that we need. He is the source for our neediness. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him, for he cares about you. All of your cares means all of your cares, your worries, your concerns, your plans, your cares, your anxieties, everything cast it upon him. And he, listen, we don't like needy people, but God has no problem with you being needy with him. We don't like needy people coming into us all the time. That gets annoying. God doesn't get annoyed with it. I hate when people are like, you know, you shouldn't ask the Lord for all that kind of stuff. You shouldn't do that. You know, almost like I'm bothering him. You're not bothering the Lord when you ask for a miracle. You're not bothering the Lord when you're asking for him to calm your heart when you're going through a tough time. You're not being a needy person the way the world looks at. The Lord looks at it and says, that's just what I need. You're going straight to the source. Cast it all on him because he cares about you. You can't be connected to the vine if you're not needy with him. And the truth is, we're all needy, but we're too busy pretending that we're independent to realize. We're all needy, but we're too busy pretending that we're independent to realize. Because here's the thing, everybody is needy. We were born needy. In fact, look back at the Garden of Eden. It's everything that Adam had, everything was given to him from God. Everything he possessed, even his body and his breath came from God. Genesis 2:7. The truth is that not much has changed from then. Nothing has changed. We are still needy and dependent people that only he has what we need. But the question is, if we're needy, who are we needy with? If you're a needy person and you haven't been going to God consistently, you're not connected to the divine, you must be trying to draw something from something else other than God, because we're needy by design. So who are we dependent on? Or what are we dependent on? Got quiet. It did. It did for me when I wrote it, because I'm like, I don't know. You know, a lot of times people jump to crazy things like alcohol and drugs and all this. Maybe that's what, you know. But we don't think about the more common things that happen. You know, needy spouses, they exist, where they're trying to suck everything they can out of their spouse so that they make themselves feel better, and it leaves their spouse feeling drained, and they're not going to the Lord, and then you just see this weird, you've seen it, right? How about with children? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can start being so needy and dependent on our kids to make us feel better, to make us feel more important, to give us a better self-worth. We have to be incredibly careful. How about money, right? Listen, I don't want to be dependent on the green. I want to be dependent on the Lord. But he's the one that supplies the green, amen? But we got to remember, it's not the green that I'm dependent on. It's not the job. It's not my customers. Some of you with businesses, we should all be dependent completely and needy on the Lord for everything that we have. For every single thing we have. He wants us to be needy with him. So those are the two tough ones, okay? You ready for the good ones? The first one is that dependence is freedom. Dependence is freedom. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to be celebrating this day that we declared freedom from Britain, in a day where we said we're independent and we fought for our freedom. But the truth is that true freedom only comes from Christ. True freedom only comes when you are connected to the vine and dependent on him, not when we're dependent. See, the world says you can only be free if you're independent. That's your freedom. And the Lord says, no, the only way you can truly be free is if you're connected to the vine. If you're drawing from the vine and saying, I am weak and I am needy and I need you. That's what true freedom is. See, I was in my backyard, we have, I think it's a walnut tree. I'm not going to try to figure it out by biting it or anything, but we got this big tree, and there's these branches that have fallen over the years, and you know, nobody took care of them, and it's in the back half of my property, but it's a beautiful tree. But there's all these branches that are laying around this tree that I need to cut up, and my wife gave me a chainsaw for Father's Day, so that's on my, I got to get that done before she gets home, I think. But I was walking over there with the dog the other day, and I'm looking at it going, could you say that branch is free? You could. You could say it's free. It's on its own, but it hasn't moved in probably 10 or 15 years. It's dead. D-E-D, dead. Remember that joke? Bringing it back. See, because this isn't just a command from Jesus. This is an invitation to freedom. This is an invitation because we are not meant to take on this by ourselves. That is not freedom. That's called bondage, people. When the world looks at it and says, you're free if you do whatever you want, whenever you want, and you're the boss, God says, that's not freedom. That's bondage. I want to be connected to the vine so I can have freedom, true freedom that's in Christ. True joy is freedom. See, Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. He wants us to have freedom, and it only comes when we're utterly dependent on him. It's an upside-down world kind of thought. Remember when we did that upside-down kingdom series? And we were looking at the upside-down saying, man, we're God, you're right side up, and we're all messed up. That's why it doesn't make sense when you hear it. How could I have to be subject or subordinate to a God and be free? And he says that's exactly what it is. True freedom. True freedom only comes from dependence on him. And then finally, dependence is communion. Amen. Today we're going to partake in communion. As you've seen, we made some time available here in our service so that we can do that and give it the proper time. But dependence on God is communion with God. Community with God when you're dependent and connected to him. So you can't have community or communion with God if you're not apart. If you're not with him, how can you have community with him? Listen again to the words of Jesus, stating what it means to be connected to the vine. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. When he says this over and over again, remain in my love. Remain in my love. Does that sound independent? It can't, because there's two people happening in this scenario. It's not a single person. Independent means you're by yourself. Remain in my love is a communion. It's a community. It's growing together. That's not a lonely place to be in his love. And going back to the freedom point, how incredible is it that when he says you're connected to me, you're connected to my love. Remain in my love. See, this is God's very heart cry for creation, is to be in community with creation, to be in communion with creation. It's the very heart of God. The very heart of God is community with us. His heart beats to have community with us. He wouldn't have created us if he didn't want to have community with us. Remember, Adam and Eve, they were with God. They're in communion with him. What happens when they sin? The branch is severed from the vine. The branch is severed from the vine, and then they were hiding from Jesus. They were hiding from God. They were hiding from him. They didn't want him to, don't look at me, God. Don't look at me. There was a separation. And even when we screwed it up as humanity, God's heart was beating to be with you. He wants to have community with you. He wants communion. He wants to be together with you. When he's done this, you got to remember, he came down in the flesh and lived within us, in community with us, died an unfair death, and then rose again from the grave, all so that he could be with us. Come on, somebody say amen, because that's incredible. That's the greatest love story ever told. That's what it means to be connected to the vine. He wants to be with his people. He wants to dwell with his people. And he's telling us to remain in his love, remain in community with me. Stay dependent on the vine. Now this, while we take communion, Pastor Scott, you can come up. While we take communion, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Why do we call it communion? What is it, the reason why we call that? The Last Supper somehow comes communion. Why? Because it comes from a Latin word meaning fellowship or sharing something together. There are two sides of this. Number one, you as an individual are coming to the Lord and having community with him, right? You're having community with the Lord. And then the second one is that now we are as a body, as all the branches in community together, having communion taking place together with God. So it's independent with you and God, but it's also together as the body of Christ. A lot of people have forgotten the together part of this. In our world, unfortunately, even in the church here in the United States, there is an independent thing. They may be dependent on the Lord, but they don't want to be connected to any branches. Can I tell you this? You don't have a choice. You don't pick what branch springs up next to you. You don't pick where that happens. And just as much as God wants to have community with us, he wants us to have community together. You ever think God is communion? God is communion. Father God, Father Son, Father Holy Spirit. It's who he is. It's in his nature for communion to be together. We should not think that we are something special. There's not one branch that comes off that vine and says, God's like, that's my chosen branch. We're all in this together. You know, because we believe, you've heard this said, that we are the body, he is the head, right? We're the body of Christ. We are the branches, he is the vine. We are connected to him. So this morning, while we're thinking about communion and this community deal, I want to encourage you this morning, not just to, I'm going to invite you to come up on your own. You can take communion on your own. But here's the deal. When we're doing this together today, don't just think of this as a moment where you're doing, just going through the motions. Don't think of it, you know, as just communion. What I want to encourage you today is make a declaration today, a fresh declaration today, saying that I am dependent on you. A declaration of dependence. You know, there was a declaration of dependence. I don't know if you've ever known that. It was, I think, a year after or so. I should probably ask Dave. He knows everything. But these were some people in New York, and they were kind of a mixed bag of people, and they wanted to sign a declaration to Britain saying, we're still loyal to the crown. Thank God that didn't work, right? But can I say to you today, we need to make a declaration to the Lord afresh in our hearts that says, God, I need you. I need you. I need you. A few years ago, there was a lady in our church, Bob Schieffer's mom, Renee Schieffer, and she used to sing this song we're about to sing, Lord, I need you. And she would sing it in the hospital. She would sing it when she's at home and comfortable. She would sing it when she's in pain. She would sing it at all times. And she would ask me to sing it. She'd just start singing, oh, Lord, I need you. Just she would go all out because her heart was dependent on God. Not on money, not on the things of this world. Her heart was dependent on him. I want to say today, can we do that afresh this morning? To say, God, I don't care if you've been a Christian your whole life or you just decided to be one today. But when you saying, God, I need you, I want to walk with you in communion, but Lord, I'm weak. I am admitting it now. God, I'm needy and I need you. Because that's where the freedom comes from. That's where community comes from. Let me pray for you, and then I'd love if we could do take part in communion. Again, we're going to do it on our own. I'll come back up and pray for us. But, you know, I want to also say this. You might want to do it by yourself, but you might want to grab somebody with you and do communion with somebody. You know, I'm also kind of wondering maybe if it's your spouse you'd like to do that. Maybe pray for each other in that. Or maybe there's somebody here that you're kind of yacked off at or mad at. Whatever that is, I just want to encourage you to go straight to the Lord and do that together. I believe that the Lord is, again, community. He wants us to be in community with Him, but He loves community with His people. That's how the Lord knows. That's how the world knows that we're with the Lord, is by our love for each other. So let's pray. Lord, we come before you again this morning. And as we're about to celebrate the independence of our nation, and we're so thankful for that, it comes incredibly apparent that we are dependent on you. We need you, God. We need you so much. We are weak, even when we don't want to admit it. We are weak, and we need your power. We need your strength. Lord, we are needy people, but we want to depend on you for all the things we need. Lord, you said, ask, and I will give it to you. Lord, we're standing here today saying, Lord, we need you. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that this brings as a relationship with you that is like nothing this whole world can ever understand. In fact, the world just keeps trying to make up counterfeit things that won't leave us sustained, things that won't leave us healthy, things that won't leave us in good withstanding. Lord, all these different things that we want to run to you, Lord, for that freedom. And Father, we just want to be with you. I know, Lord, it's almost like you're singing a love song over us every day. I want to be with you. I want to know you. And you don't look at us as annoying, needy people. You don't look at us as the castaways that are just too weak to do it on your own. You look at us as your beloved. And that is the God I want to serve. That's the God that I want to chase after and be dependent on. So today we're making a declaration of dependence this morning. That when we come up and we bring our communion back to our seats or wherever we are, we're making a declaration this morning that we are dependent on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can come now. Take your time. We're just going to it's only 11:14. Let's just bask in the presence of the Lord for a moment. Come up and grab it, and then I will pray for you at the end. But again, let's make this a declaration, a fresh declaration of dependence on Him.
Lord, I come and I confess bowing here. I find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart, and Lord, I need you. Christ in me, and where you are. godly breath inside of my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer. And I need your love like I need water. I need your love like I need breath inside of my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer.
Picture as we were taking communion, and I just felt like You know, it just felt like I was laying at his feet, like one of his disciples in that room, having communion, having a meal with him, remembering what he did on that cross. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. Lord, we remember your sacrifice that you made, and we are so thankful. Lord, I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to take it for granted that you give me strength. I don't want to take it for granted that you meet all of my needs and you are my provider, that you give me freedom and you want to be with me. Lord, we don't take that for granted this morning. We're thankful. I want to encourage you this week as you go out and you do your things. As a church body here at PCF, I wondered if we could just be more apparent or more aware of his longing to be with us. That would be more aware that we are dependent on him, that we need him. So again today, on July 3rd, 2022, we're making a declaration to say we need you, Lord. If you're here this morning and maybe you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart, maybe you've never got that communion that we're just talking about. He wants to have communion with you. He wants to be with you. And it's very easy. You just say to the Lord, you know, I've screwed up. I've made messes in my life. I've been doing this thing independent and I can't do it anymore. Lord, would you take control? Lord, I am dependent on you. I want to be attached to your vine, and I do not want to get disconnected. Lord, you are everything we need, and we are dependent on you. Lord Jesus, you are King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you want to be with us. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you. We will remain in your love. We will remain in your vine. And we declare that today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Well, we love you guys. If you need any prayer or anything like that, a few of us will be available for you up in the front. And I just pray that this week would be a great week in the Lord, that you have a great day tomorrow celebrating your freedom. But remember where the true freedom comes from. Amen. God bless you as you go. Love you guys. See you next week.